Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5. I'm going to have some help today. Y'all know this is going to be our last Sunday talking about real talk, table talk. So I'm going to have some help helping us try to bring the scriptures to life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, when you have it, say amen. And please, I'm going to ask for y'all forgiveness, because y'all know we don't normally wear hats, but today I had to have a hat day because my day just did not go according to plan. Yesterday I was supposed to go and, you know, take care of all of this, but somebody's soul was more important than me being beautiful or being handsome. Somebody's soul matters more, you understand? So I figured y'all will forgive me, give me a pass with this hat today. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not even a hat person, but I'm going to wear this hat today. Yes, I am. And I'm going to look good in it, and I'm going to preach good in it. In Jesus' mighty name, yes, I am. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5. Are you there? It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Approve your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And you may be seated in the presence of the living God. Amen. And the title that we're working with on today is I have what it takes. I have what it takes. I have what it takes. And somebody just needs to be reminded that you have what it takes on the inside. You have what it takes. Yeah. Regardless of what you've been tried with, regardless of what you've been faced with, challenged with, regardless of what you've been experiencing in life, you have what it takes. You have what it takes to overcome the enemy. You have what it takes to overcome circumstances. You have what it takes to overcome the issues of life. You have what it takes. Regardless of what you've been trying with mentally, what you have been tried with emotionally, what you've been tried with in your physical body, you have what it takes to overcome it. Amen. But it's according to your faith. That's what I understand. It's according to what you believe. Because we can come up here every day, all day, and say certain things, but unless you believe it, it doesn't even matter what we're saying. All right? It doesn't even matter what we're saying. And you know something, I'm going to just throw this out there. We all know the scripture, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please the Lord, right? But think about this. The Lord said, go, say it to me one more time. I said, it's impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please. He said, stop right there. Without faith, it is impossible. Right? Don't even go to the please the Lord part. Regardless of what you're doing, without faith, it is impossible. Because many of us don't understand everything you do requires faith. You may not even understand that you're utilizing faith to do everything that you're doing. And so without faith, it is impossible. And then when you throw that on the end to please him, so understand if you don't utilize faith, if you're not exercising faith, then guess what? He's not being pleased. Amen? So we're here in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we understand we've been in this little book a couple times now, right? And so we understand Paul's legitimacy as an apostle is being tried by people in the church, because we got false teachers who've come and they've been speaking false doctrines in the church and things of this nature right there. So they're actually questioning his legitimacy as him being an apostle. Even the things that he's written in the letters, and they've talked about, well, Paul, you seem to be soft. Now if I was back in Paul's day, I just would not have, oh, you already acting? Oh, Jesus Christ. Y'all know that's her nature. I wasn't ready, but I mean, you go ahead there. She acting out the scriptures and stuff, y'all. So understand, if I was back in Paul's day, I don't think I would say that. Understanding who Paul was. This is the same dude that was going in the synagogues, dragging folks out and talking about just beating them to the ground, but not only that, killing some folks. I would just be very careful about speaking certain words about Paul. You understand what I'm saying? Because I understand, even though I'm a believer, if I'm tried the right way, I don't like to fight, but God, no, I still will fight fast, quick, and in a hurry. You understand? I give you an example. If I'm out with my wife or one of my children and let somebody disrespect, oh, you don't understand who you're dealing with. You understand? Don't judge me now. Don't judge me because I'm telling you the truth that, hey, if somebody disrespect my wife or one of my girls, I'm going to be, we got to do this. We got to do this. You understand what I'm saying? So I get it. I just wouldn't have been that type of dude to say something about Paul. Like, Paul, you weak. You only get strong in your writing. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, you won't say that to my face, though. I wouldn't mess with Paul like that. But this is what you got taking place inside the church, right? You know, where they're suggesting that Paul only demonstrates his strength when he's writing these letters to the church. But he seems or appears to be weak because he's having to write letters. Why not say this face to face when you come? You understand? And a lot of times you got to think, maybe Paul didn't address some things like that, or he didn't have to put his strength on display as an apostle, because in other words, maybe he was trying to keep his own nature in check. Because some of us so-called Christians, we still got a smart mouth. Some of us so-called Christians, we still don't honor folk, knowing that honor is something big to God. Folk rolling their eyes when they being corrected and all these different things because they grown. And you looking at Paul all kind of way. You understand what I'm saying? These things happen in the church. Right? So maybe Paul was kind of just trying to chill because he understood, listen, I ain't too far removed from dragon folk. See, that'd be me. I ain't too far. I've been saying, what, about to be 20 years. Woo, thank you, Jesus. 20 years, Christian. Hey. Yes, sir. 20 good, strong years. But I still ain't too far removed from smacking somebody in their face. They get me wrong. Oh, I know how to go and repent. Father, I repent for knocking their tooth out their mouth. Don't judge me, though. Don't judge me. But one thing that he's dealing with in the letter, he's saying, okay, you got to examine yourself. And you know what I found out in the church? I don't know if you want to start acting now, you know what I mean? But what we found out in the church, we don't have too many people that are willing. Notice what I'm saying. They're not willing to examine themselves. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you leave it to someone else to examine you, why you get upset with what they examine about you? You know that you won't necessarily be so angry if you were willing to examine yourself. If you were willing to tell the truth about yourself. Because when I come and have to tell you the truth about you, it's either I'm lying, or it's either you don't understand me, or no, that's not what I meant, or no, you judging me, or no, you being critical of me, all these different things. Why can't it just be the truth? Why can't it just be the truth? Now, I had a little situation this morning, trying to get out the house. Everybody in the house know I want to be on time. And then while my 5-year-old want to go to the refrigerator when it's time to head out the door. She barely can lift the jugs in the refrigerator anyhow. And you trying to drag the juice jug over the other jug. Are you kidding me? So my thing is, what are you doing? She looks back. Daddy, I'm getting something to drink. It is time to go. Right? So my wife is like, you ain't gonna tell my child not to get something to drink. Hey! You just walking in the house from work. You ain't got nothing to do with this. She been sitting on the couch about 30 minutes. Why you thirsty when it's time to leave? 30 minutes you've been sitting on the couch, oh, watching the cartoon, but when it's time for me to be on time for Jesus, you want to get something to drink. That thing frustrated me, right? So, okay, I fall back a little bit, go ahead and get the drink. Because my wife like, you ain't going to stop my child, or it's your child? Your child by yourself. Ain't gonna stop my child from getting something to drink. Okay. So I fall back a little bit. And I'm just looking. I got this crazy look on my face like, So I get in the car, not even down the street good. Who calls me on the phone? My wife. She asks me, "Hey, did you use my soap before me?" When we went to Florida, I bought it. Y'all know that black soap. I bought it that black soap, right? Now this is the thing. She's complaining that I can't cut the soap. So I took it upon myself thinking I'm doing a generous act. I'ma cut the soap for her last night. But I figured, hey, I done been at the hospital. And no way, I'm about to lay down in my bed. When I done been at the hospital, I need the shower. So because I did her generous favor by cutting the soap, I might as well test it out for her. Cause this is the thing in the house now, you know? This is what I do with my children now, you know? Anytime we go out to eat or whatever, you know, fast food, hey, let me test the French fry. I gotta make sure it's safe. I don't want nothing to happen to you. So let me taste the fry. Don't you eat yet. Let me taste it and make sure it's safe for you to eat. So they just be looking at me like, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm trying to make sure you're safe. Daddy, ain't nothing wrong with that food. How you know? You know nothing wrong with it now because I ain't dead." Right? So I figure the same rules apply with my wife. Let me test your soap out. What's good for one is good for us all. Right? So I wash my face with a little soap. Bye, it's good. Put it up. Didn't think nothing of it. Here she come rolling in this morning. Go get in the shower. So it lets me know she did not know where the soap was in the shower. Right? So it lets me know she went to go examine the big bar of soap on the counter. I said, "Okay." So going back to the conversation, did you cut my soap? "Yes, I did." And I thought it was going to stop right there. "Did you use my soap before I used it?" I didn't say anything. See, I knew it was you or either Shekinah going to come use my stuff before I said, "Risha, right now was not a good time. Not about no soap. I'm already frustrated because you want the child to get used. You know how I feel about being on time." "Well, I'm just messing with you." This ain't the time to be messing with me. No time to be messing with me, and I'm trying to fight through my anger and frustration. You understand what I'm saying? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're trying to fight through the anger and frustration, now I hear somebody come poking you even the more. Don't do that. Because see, when I go ahead and get riled up, and because you poking this bad, when I go ahead and get riled up, don't blame me for what come. Don't say nothing when I just go to, don't act crazy because you starting it. Y'all know it sounds like a good place right here to say, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. Don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. You understand? You starting it. I think I'm going to go ahead and finish it. So that's how my morning was starting off, and I had to examine myself. Because many folk don't do that. I began to examine myself and said, "You know what? God, I'm wrong. That's me. That's me. Why are you going to be mad that your wife trying to make sure your child have something to drink to wash this big old McDonald's biscuit down her little throat? Why are you going to be mad about that?" Right? So when you start thinking about stuff, you're like, "Yeah, that was being petty. That was, Jesus, help me. Help me. Yeah. Help me. That was just being petty, God," right? So I said, "You know what? Now, I can easily call her on the phone and say, 'You know what? I'm sorry, that's me.' I can easily text her and apologize through text." I said, well, since she saw my frustrated facial expression, I'm going to wait till I get home and say, "You know what? You were right. I'm wrong. I apologize. That was me." You understand what I'm saying? Like, everything should be done over the phone. Because when you showed your tail, you didn't show your tail over the phone. Oh, we ain't gonna get no help right there. You showed out in front of everybody in the house, but you wanna wait and apologize over text message, or wait and apologize over a phone call. But you show, everybody saw you show your tail. Everybody saw you raise your voice. Everybody saw you all this. Everybody saw you roll your eyes and all these different things.
And mind you, how many people see the text where you apologize? Mind you, how many people hear the phone call where you apologize? So we don't even think about the image that we've left in the minds of people. This is the last thing they saw you. But you saying, well, I apologize. They don't know that. They don't know you had a secret text or a secret phone call. So I'm telling you, I had to examine myself, right? And we understand examine. When you talk about examine in the Greek, it's talking about what? I had to test myself, right? Examine is talking about testing yourself. It's also talking about it's to try whether a thing can be done. Test yourself. Can you do this? Can you go and apologize and mean it? Because remember, we said you have what it takes. Can you say I forgive you and really mean it? And not just let it be lip service. You understand? Can you truly be kind to people and not expect nothing in return? Because most of us, though we're believers, we do stuff because we expect something in return. A lot of us still give because we expect God to give back to us. In other words, we should be giving because I give because I love him. I give because he's priority in my life. Whether he gives me, now don't misunderstand me now. I ain't saying I don't want God to give to me. But my reason for giving is not because, well, God, I'm going to give because I want you to give to me because I gave to you. No, I give because I love him. Right? So what I found out, most of us, we don't like tests as it is. Some of us were bad test takers in school. You're still bad test takers. You know, been out of school 15 years. Still a bad test taker. That's why you hear anything about a test, you get all nervous and jittery and stuff. You understand? And don't let it be a time test. Because most of us, when it comes to taking time tests, oh, you bombing those tests, all kind of things, right? So it's talking about time tests. And life itself is time, right? So you're dealing with a lot of time tests throughout life. So it's an examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. In the faith. In the Greek, it's talking about in the conviction of the truth, right? I promise it's going to make sense. It's going to make sense. When I get with you, it's going to make sense. You kind of just flowing by yourself, but it's going to make sense. But y'all know how she do. She's very animated. She's good to do this. By herself, too. But it's going to make sense. You understand? Have you tested to see whether or not you're in the faith? Does the truth of God's word convict you? And notice we've been talking about conviction lately in the last couple of messages in Bible studies. Because you don't find people talking about they're convicted anymore. You can hear God's truth and it doesn't move you to do right. It doesn't move you to want to do right. It doesn't move you to want to change. The truth of God's word doesn't prick the hearts of the believers anymore. Why? Because most of our hearts have become hardened. That ought to bother you. Right? But I'm so glad that one prayer that I prayed when I became a believer, I said, God, let your holy conviction rest on me, God. God, don't ever take your holy conviction away from me. Even when I don't want to be right, even when I don't agree, even when I don't like it, I thank God for the holy conviction. It moves upon me. For example, what I just told you about today. In my mind, my wife was dead wrong. In my mind, according to my perception, she was dead wrong. But thank God for the holy conviction. I didn't even get that far down the road. And then I'm already saying, no, you wrong, Lincoln, you wrong. You wrong. Before she called me, Lincoln, you wrong. And then when she called, she started pushing buttons though. And then I quickly came out of that. Like, hold up. Hold up. You know? But how is it? Are you or have you examined yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith? That you have come subject to the convictions of the truth of God's word. Does the word move you? Thank God for that one yes. Thank God for those two yeses. You know what I mean? Lord, have mercy. No, people don't even understand. You know what? The fact that you didn't respond, it is an indicating factor that the truth does not move you like that. You think you were just sitting there. No. You were really reacting to what you feel about truth. The truth does not move you like that. Unless we get right up in your face every day, all day with a hard word, then you allow the truth to deal with you. But it should not take somebody having to get in your face with a hard word every day. Don't just be moved by the good word, the blessed word. See, for most of us, those are the only words that move us. God about to do it. Oh, yeah. God about to do it. What is he about to do? But that's all we need in some church. God about to do it. Ah! Then everybody get up dancing and shouting. The church gone wild. Forget girls gone wild. Church gone wild. Oh, God about to do it. What is he about to do? The fact that you haven't obeyed, but you think because you in earshot of what's being said that applies to you. God about to do, what is he about to do? Maybe the it that he's about to do for you is tear that tail up. He about to get you. He about to correct you. Maybe that's what he's about to do. Because see, some of us don't think like that though. You know you ain't right. But you got the nerve, oh God about to, no, he about to get you. That's what he about to do. In other words, he about to love on you real good, because to rebuke you, to chasten you, that's a demonstration of his love. He about to love on you real good. He about to hug you so tight. All right? So he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, right? Prove your own selves. Thessalonians tell us what? Prove all things. Haven't y'all noticed how much you hate having to prove stuff? Prove it. Prove it. I'm changed. I know I'm changed. Prove it. And then our response is usually, I ain't got to prove nothing to you. Oh, yes, you do. I don't have to prove nothing. Yes, you do. I don't have nothing against them. Prove it. Prove it. You don't get to say, I ain't got to prove the Bible. If you saying you are a believer, the Bible says prove all things. It ain't say some things, most things. All prove that you don't have an ought against them. Prove it. Prove it. And you're not just proving it to them. You're proving it to yourself, and you're proving it to all of us, and you're proving it to God. You're proving it to the, prove it. Prove all things to everybody. Prove it. We don't like that. Because to prove it is a challenge. And you having to make, you making, having to make good on what you just said. Because most of us, we be lying. I don't have nothing against them. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You just haven't voiced it. You just haven't expressed it to everybody. But your behavior shows that there is a problem. Why y'all don't talk the way y'all used to? And if y'all talk, why y'all communication is now just through text messages now? Because I text you because I don't want to hear your voice. And if I text you, you know what? I can stop texting. I don't have to respond no more. You understand what I'm saying? Prove that you ain't got no issue with them then. Why you don't deal with me in public? You know what? It's a bunch of secret love in the church. I only love you. I only want to deal with you when nobody else can see it. I'm going to deal with you how I want to deal with you. And I'm going to deal with you when I want to deal with you. Why do you feel like people are inconvenienced to you? No, why do we feel like other people are inconvenienced to us? I'm just trying to spend time with my family. Child, you ain't even right with your family like that. You got issues with it, your family. And you want to lie, play games with us like you just so into your family. Stop it. Some of your family you can't stand, but you trying to make us believe I'm trying to spend time. Stop it. Prove that you love your family like that. Prove it. If you love them, invite them to church. If you love them, they got their own church. I don't care nothing about they got their own church. I don't care nothing about they got their own church. Say it again. I don't care nothing about they got their own church. Because the reality, the truth be told, what they get at their church, it ain't feeding them. They ain't growing out a lick or nothing. Yeah, we can't be afraid to say that. Maybe they at the wrong church. Ain't no stealing no sheep. The sheep don't belong to me. They God people. So how can I steal God's people? All this traditional crap. Like, get out of here. Prove that you love them. Prove that everything is good with y'all. Right? So he's saying, when you talk about this, it said, prove also means to test, right? But it also means to scrutinize, meaning you examine very carefully. Now, there were some of us, you don't mind examining, but you don't examine very carefully. In other words, you don't pay attention to the details. It is the details that makes the difference. You understand? Like, you might have examined yourself and said, you know what, yeah, my tone was wrong. So the next opportunity or the next incident, you said, okay, well, you know what? Since he's talking about my tone was wrong, I ain't gonna say nothing. But you rolled your eyes. And you didn't pay attention to the fact that you rolled your eyes when something was said to you. So you know better because you didn't say anything. Guess what? The manifestation that you was disgusted and angry and upset and felt challenged came by way of you rolling your eyes. So, okay, we're talking about proving yourself. We're talking about examining yourself very carefully, paying attention to the detail, because you know that you are a detailed individual. Why aren't you willing to pay attention to those details about you? You know how you do stuff. The stuff that folk don't know about you, or the stuff that they don't necessarily see. They might not necessarily know you was thinking that thought, but you know it. And you know that God know the thought that just ran across your mind. Right? Some of us have mastered having ill, wicked thoughts and mastered keeping our face straight. We've mastered having perverted looks on our face and knowing how to master so folk don't catch us. You understand? We've mastered keeping our face straight. Having a lustful look out the eye, out the, your peripheral. You understand what I'm saying? If folk were really being honest about how much they live in their peripheral. Why some of us halfway, that's why most of us cockeyed in the realm of the spirit, not because we spend so much time looking in our peripheral. But what he should, or what you should be looking at, we're not looking at it. He wants you to focus on this right here. We're trying to see what's over here and what's over there. So what that shows me, you like looking at things that are not in focus. You may see it, especially if it's not that close to you. It's not that in focus when it's in your peripheral. So you like not having a clear vision. Oh, what for not gonna say? Because if I don't have a clear vision, then I have an excuse because I didn't see what I was supposed to see, or I didn't see what I needed to see. Right? So it's talking about, okay, examining things very carefully, right? But it also means to see if something is genuine. When you are examining very, very carefully, you're seeing if it is genuine. I'm sorry. Was it genuine? I forgive you. Was it genuine? I mean that. Was it genuine? What about this one? I love it, you. Was it genuine? Because it's too easy to tell folk you love them nowadays. See, some people need to say, why do you love me? Tell me, explain to me why you love me. Because see, you may love me because of the money that I bring up in here. You may love me because of the tricks that I can turn in the bed. Explain to me why you love me. Do you love my personality? Do you just love the way my body is made? Do you love how I sound? Do you love how I talk? Do you love my eyes? Do you love the color of my eyes? Do you love how long my hair is? How short my hair is? How tall I am? How short I am? Tell me, do you love me? Or do you love certain things about me? Or certain things that I can do? Explain to me why you love me. Or I need to know why you love me. Yeah, Folk are unwilling because, see, most people have never been asked that question. Explain to me why you love me. They're not even prepared to answer that question. Because we've just been taught to say, I love you. Why do you love me? Why? See, from a teenager, that's the thing I used to always ask, dealing with folk, even though I was never committed. Why you love me? I need to know why you love me. Why? And what kind of love is this? I need to know, is it that psychotic love? Oh, yeah. Oh, I need to know. Because you can have a bad understanding. You can see me talking to somebody and may not know. This is my female cousin, and you done went off the handle trying to kill both of us. I don't need to be involved with that psychotic love. Tell me why you love me. No, don't need that. Oh, put your head down now. The folks dealing with some, there are some people who deal with folk and they love you with a psychotic love. You should have prayed and figured out who you was getting involved with. If I can't love you, ain't nobody gonna love you. Oh, you better ask somebody. Selfish kind of love, a jealous kind of love, a prideful kind of love. You better ask somebody, but is it a genuine kind of love? It's a perverted kind of love. Oh, it's a thin line between love and hate type of love. Oh, they love you one day and they hating you the next minute. You better ask somebody, why do you love me the way you love? What kind of love is it? If I mishandle you, is it a revengeful type love? I love you enough to get you back. Oh, because some folk love you enough to get you back. Or do you love me enough to let me slide with what I did and still your love don't change? Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Y'all not going to talk to me. Because some of y'all have experienced those types of love. I love you enough to get you back. What kind of love is that? Soon as your bank account changed, your status changed, now they love has changed. Gravity takes a hold of you and your body starts changing. You get a little older, you're not as flexible anymore. Oh, the folk love has changed. Well, I'm just not interested anymore. I just don't feel the way I used to feel. What? This was supposed to be covenant. This is not no contractual thing. For better or worse. You don't love me when I had the bomb body. Love me when it has got a little worse. Oh yeah, love me now that it's gotten out a little shit. Love me. If I'm gonna tell you that, what kind of love? Tell me why you love me. Somebody need to go home and ask that. Tell me why you, I need to know, explain to me why you love me. Do you love me for me? That if all my hair fall out, God forbid, I can't handle that. Whew. I heard they make wigs for men nowadays. I can't do it. I can't sell out like that, y'all. I can't. You understand? Two things I need to have. I said, God, please, let me have all my teeth when I die, Jesus. my real teeth, Jesus. I need my real teeth. You know what I mean? That stuff is too expensive, man. You understand? But I need to know. God forbid, if I'm playing basketball and somebody get me in a boat and I miss it, and it's just a space right here. I need to know. Do you love me? When I'm whistling all the time, sir, sir, sir. I need to know that you ain't gonna get tired of me whistling. I'm not trying to do it on purpose. Stop laughing, it ain't funny. You know I got my tooth knocked out, but will you love me when I just got one big tooth? I just need to know. Oh, y'all think it's a game. God, you need to know. You need to know. Some people will drop you when your physical body changes. You can get an implant. But see, the truth be told, I know it's fake. See, that's me. I know it's fake. It looked good while it's in. but at night, you got to go put it in a glass of water. Why you got to put it by the bed? I don't want to wake up seeing your tooth. Oh, see, that'll make your love diminish. I'm just talking about me. That'll make my love diminish. Y'all ain't gonna be, I'm gonna tell the truth. God knows, he love the truth all day. I'm gonna tell the truth. Just saying, you don't think like me, you might not feel the way I feel, but I'm just saying, I need to know why you love me. Certain things, no, I'm just being real. Certain things I cannot handle. There's certain things I cannot handle. And I be praying to God, God, please don't ever test me like this. Please don't ever test me like that. I'm gonna mess that all the way up, God. And what glory you were supposed to get, God, that has just been messed all the way up. See, I be honest with myself. And I be honest with God. God, please don't test me like that. Because I'm a fail. I tell him, I'm a fail. I know I'm a fail, God. I'm not even gonna try to depend on your spirit because I'm a fail. You ain't gonna say it. Because I've examined myself carefully. Can you deal? Nope, can't deal with that. As much as I thought I wanted millions of dollars, the truth be told, God, that'll get me in trouble. Right now in my life, that'll probably get me in trouble. I could be honest and say that will probably get me in trouble. Love Jesus, but there's some other things that I love. Want Jesus, but there's some other things that I want. You understand what I'm saying? That probably get me in trouble, God. See, this is what I'm talking about. Examine yourself carefully, paying attention to the detail. And you know certain details about yourself. You know what you like, how you like it, when you like it. Oh, yes, you do. Yes. Yeah. There's a certain way you believe you should be treated, too. That's true. This is my thing. People from poverty feel like they're supposed to be treated like they celebrities. Yes. I'd be like, what the? Yes. So you want me to go get your car, pull it up to the, put a sidewalk for you? You want to be treated like you're a millionaire, but you ain't got no $1 million praise. You ain't got no $1 million offering. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't got no $1 million love. No $1 million forgiveness. No $1 million acceptance. No $1 million interaction with people. You got poverty interaction with people. But you want folk to treat you like a millionaire or something. I don't understand. What kind of thinking is that? And then folk be telling myself, because I know what God calling me to. What is he calling you to be right now? We're not talking about when you get to what he's called. What is he calling you to be right now? Because if you want to live according to faith, you should be living according to faith right now. Right now. Folk always want to talk about when I get there. I'm just believing God because this is what he said about. Well, what did he say for you right now? So he ain't saying nothing about your today, is what you're trying to let me know. He only speaking about your tomorrow, right? But last time I checked, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. So is it safe to say that you thinking about your future, thinking about your tomorrow, you actually in sin? He said, take no thought for tomorrow. See, the altar would be filled right there if folk taught that type, if we were teaching that type of scripture. Oh, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my bill tomorrow. He said, take no thought for tomorrow, you in sin. Right? So understand. He said, okay, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Prove your own selves. Why you always ask somebody that? You think I change? You tell me, have you changed? If you got to ask me, have you changed? It's a good indicating factor that you have not changed. And then you got some people that are just bold. I know I changed. I know I... What? What change? Other than you've gotten worse. You were better yesterday. Today you're worse. And you got the nerve to walk around here, oh, I know I changed. Ain't nobody got to tell. I know. What change? Please tell them the truth. You have become worse. I became worse in some areas. Lying to myself thinking I changed. Yeah, you changed. It wasn't no lie. You just didn't change in a positive way. See, folk not going to be willing to say that or examine themselves like that. Because people really don't know how to let the conviction of God rest on them. Because what I found out, conviction makes you feel bad, just like condemnation makes you feel bad. And so rather than us allowing the conviction of God to fall on us or deal with it, we allow the condemnation of the enemy to take and rule in our heart. So now you feel like, well, you know what? I just ain't never going to be good enough for that. I just can't never chat. I just can't never, you know that speed. I can't do nothing right. Oh, woe is you. Woe is you. When everybody feels sorry for you, still ain't changed. When everybody asking you, are you okay? You still ain't changed. When everybody asking you, what's wrong? You still ain't changed. You got all the attention that you wanted and you still haven't changed. He said, prove your own selves, right? Prove your own selves. Stop looking for somebody else to prove. You prove it. You prove it. Say it one more time. You prove it. You prove it. Because you know what? You have what it takes to prove that you change. If you didn't change, go back to the drawing board. If you didn't change, go back and work on it again. Go back and try to get it right again. Well, you see that we ain't get that much help right there. Because don't nobody want to have to do it again. But you ain't do it right the first time. What sense did that make? If you didn't get it right the first time, then why would you not go back and do it again? Lord have mercy. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. It's kind of hard, but it's all right. He says, no, you're not. Your own selves, right? Right? No, you're not. Your own selves. No, you're not. Your own selves. Through this examination process, it will bring you to the knowledge of knowing yourself. You know what I found out? Some of us are afraid to know ourselves. Right? Yeah. You suspect some things about yourself. But you don't, because to know them means you will have to confirm these things that you suspect about yourself. In other words, you suspect that you can be foul. But you don't want to have to confirm that you could be a foul individual. You understand that you have the possibility of being perverted. But you don't want to have to confirm that, in fact, indeed, you are a perverted individual in the church. Struggle with perversion in the church. In the church, struggle with watching pornography. In the church. In the church, you side out looking at folk lusting, got lust of the eyes. In the church, right? And so you suspect a lot of these things, but you don't want to have to confirm. That is me. You know what I was telling my wife? Me and my wife was having a candid conversation not too long ago. And I said, Risha, it used to be a time where everybody in the church would be, hit me with the word, God. Hit me with the word, God. You know, matter of fact, my wife is the one who started. She said, you know what? I told God I ain't saying that no more, God, because God, you hit me too hard. And God, you hit me too much. So I said, you know what? I ain't telling God to hit me no more with the word. I said, well, what about this one then, Risha? Well, if you're not saying hit me with the word, it used to be, it's me, God. Everything was you. Now she said, you know what? I done learned. I'm not saying everything me anymore. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. I said, look at here. What has changed? Yeah. Renisha, good for that one. Renisha on the front row preaching. Everything that she feel is good. Thank God. Help my husband, Lord. Why? Why help Mike? Why not say help me, Lord? Or why not say help us, Lord? But it's help my husband, Lord. Like Mike got all the changing in the world to do. Well, guess what? Because y'all are no longer two fleshes but one flesh, you really saying, God, help me, Lord. When you talking about help my husband, help me, Lord. So every time you call his name, you ought to throw your hand up. You ought to throw up two and help me, Lord, God. We need that much help, God. Oh, yeah. Help our communication. Help our understanding. Help our forgiveness. Help our sensitivity. Help our bad understanding, God. Help us, Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I need help. We don't say that no more. God, help me, Lord. that you with your proper self won't ask for help. You know you need help with some of the simplest things in your life. You know you need help. I'm talking about this discipline thing, y'all. At one point, I was disciplined. I was real disciplined. Now, it take you time to build a discipline or build a routine in your life, but it only take you a few seconds to ruin that routine. And I was real disciplined with getting up at 5 o'clock prayer. I was real disciplined with meditating on the word every day, but it only took me a few short seconds to mess that routine up. Now, I'm struggling some days to get up and pray, and sometimes my prayer is, I'm laying in the bed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You understand what I'm saying? I'm getting all comfortable in the bed, but it used to be a point I was on the side of the bed walking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind you, devil. But where has that discipline gone? Where has that passion and desire gone? I need help. I couldn't let pride get in the way. Because see, you be thinking, or the devil be how you thinking, because of who you are. Folk have a certain expectation. I don't care what expectation you got of me. I don't care what your opinion. I need help. Prophetess Portia, can you call me and see if I'm up for 5 o'clock prayer? Pastor Ivan, can you call me and see if I'm up for 5 o'clock prayer? I need help. I can't let pride get in the way. I run the risk of losing my life by being prideful. Because pride, destruction becomes before. No, I ain't trying to be destroyed because I'm walking in pride. No, I need help. I don't care what you think. I need help. Yeah, I'm a pastor, but I need help. Call me. And I know when you didn't call me, you didn't get up for 5. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that. When you ain't call me, that means you ain't get up for 5 o'clock prayer. It's okay, though, because we're trying to help each other. You understand what I'm saying? Folk will have you thinking they're getting up every day. You ain't get up no every day, because you were supposed to call me and check on me. You ain't call me. That's my proof. You struggling, too. We all need help. We all need help, right? Yes, we do, right? Know yourself. Why are you so afraid to know you? In order to know you, you must deal with you. That's why we watch so much TV, because it prevents me from having to deal with me. As much as you talking about you like your me time, if we were to examine some of y'all me time, you got all kind of things going on while you by yourself. No, sit there in silence in your me time. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Turn the TV off in your me time. It ain't for you to go prop your feet up in the bed and look at HGTV, none of that stuff. We ain't talking about God don't want to remodel no house on the TV. He want to remodel that house. You. Yeah, he want to go in and tear some stuff down on the inside of you and rebuild it on the inside of you. Let God remodel that house. Get quiet. Be still. Always doing something in your me time. It's a good time to organize my shoe. Right? It's a good time to organize my shoes, go through my closet, because now you feeling good about yourself. No, the reality, tell the truth, what you know about yourself is you want something new. So now you finna tell me, well, I'm about to go in my closet, I'm about to get some stuff away to Goodwill, act like you're a good Samaritan. You lying wonder, you just want something new to make yourself feel good about yourself. Go ahead and tell the truth, that's all. You ain't trying to be no good Samaritan, you ain't trying to be no giver. I ain't gonna help, I'm telling you the truth. Because you don't know yourself. If you knew yourself, you know there's a motive, there's a reason why you're giving. Well, baby, I gave. Because you want something. That's all. Because you want something. You know, my child had the audacity to tell me, because, you know, none of my children have a phone yet. I don't care. I said, I don't care if you be 18 and don't have a phone. We're not going to do what everybody else do. I said, tell me why you want a phone. If you can't tell me in the first 5 seconds, that's a good reason you don't need it. She kind of failed. Get out of here. Out of here. Right? So here comes Majesty. Well, I want a phone because, see, Majesty, she thinks she's slick. Sneaky. She gonna wait, get out of sight, be around the corner somewhere. Trying to listen, right? So she hear the conversation taking place with me and Shekinah. So she know the conversation is going to come her way. She don't know what day, she don't know when, but she prepared. Right? Man said, why you want a phone?
Well, I want to phone daddy because I want to be able to text my daddy.
I said, mommy have an iPhone. I can stay in contact with mommy, but I can't call my daddy. I can't text my daddy because when you get the app text now, daddy, whatever it's called, it change your phone number every day. That I'm telling you, she had it all worked out. I said, huh, is that right? I said, well, if you want a phone and you got a good reason you want a phone, do you mind if I get you a dumb phone? I'm talking about the one where you can't scroll, the one where you can't look at no internet, the one where you barely can text and that's it. Do you mind if I get you that? You should have seen it. Now, why are you quiet now? If you just want a phone for the purpose of contacting me, why are you quiet now? So you telling me you're concerned about what your phone look like, and you're really not concerned about contacting me, right? So you want to keep up with your friends. You want to show your friends the type of phone you got. And I said, let me tell you something. So you know me, it's going to be a live teaching. I took my phone in my pocket. I said, did you see this phone? It's already almost 2 years old. I said, but this phone by itself, this little handheld computer, $1,000. We're not even talking about getting the services on it yet. So she like, yeah, you keep that face right there. Keep that face right there. $1,000. Do you have $1,000? No. I don't either. I don't have no extra $1,000 either. But maybe I can get you a dumb phone. Oh, that don't want no phone. Hey, you helping me. Thank you. Cost $1,000. We ain't even turned the phone on yet. I said, you know how many days me and your mama be talking about? Man, I'm so tired of this phone. That money can go to something else. So they robbing us. They're keeping communication with other folk. Robbing us. So I talk real to my children so they understand. I said, I'm not against you having a phone. I said, but we're not going to have a phone for the sake of you can look good to your friends. Get out of here. I said, because trust me, if my Android Samsung S3, oh yeah, S3 would not have broken, I would still be rocking that S3 right now. Oh, the phone don't make me. I'd be rocking that old phone right now and like it's the bomb. Out of here. I don't care about your new iPhone 10. I got this S3, baby. They know I ain't lying. You know how many times Mike tried to persuade me to get past it? You need a new phone. Oh, you worry about my phone for it, Mike? You gonna pay for it? If you ain't gonna buy it, don't worry about my phone. As long as I can communicate with you, I'm all right. As long as when I put it in my ear, I hear you and you hear me, I'm good. I don't need all this fancy stuff, man. Cell phones ain't nothing but making y'all lazy. Alexa or who was the person on Cyrus and Siri on the iPhone? What is the weather like? Go look at the weather yourself. Them phones ain't doing nothing but making y'all lazy. It's making you lazy in your communication because it does everything for you. Oh, you, if you knew yourself, you'd go ahead and be real and talk about, you know why I am lazy. I had to say that about myself not too long ago. I'm lazy. And I ain't never think I would use those words concerning myself. And then all this technology ain't doing nothing but aiding you becoming more lazy. You're going to get no help right there. I love what technology can do for you, but it don't do nothing but aid you in becoming lazy. Now we're looking for technology to solve every problem. I'm going to figure out technology. Technology's going to teach me who to date. Swipe right. Swipe right. Really? So now algorithms know people better than God know people now. We ain't going to say how we trust algorithms in computer technology. Now, you trust that? No, because Google said this. When did Google become God? Oh, you all guilty. I know you're not going to say it, so I'm going to say it for you. Yeah, know yourself. Have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Know yourself. You need to know that he in you. If not, he's saying you're reprobate. Reprobate, in the Greek, he's talking about you are a reject. And it's how much we already struggle with rejection. Yeah. It's like a wave of sinus just came in the room. You heard? Ooh, Jesus, boy.
That rejection thing is something serious. That's why it took us so long to get through the suitcase series of dealing with rejection. And a lot of us didn't realize how rejected we are as individuals. We found out even dealing with rejection, you sarcastic because guess what? It's just the seed of your rejection. It's a defense mechanism, right? Now, my attempt is to try to combine these two scriptures together, right? Now, go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm getting ready to get out y'all way in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 1, right? And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and behold, it was burned with fire and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephah. And Abiathar brought thither the ephah to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So I want you to understand that you have what it takes. Even as Paul was talking about, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. I'm talking about David is tried on every level. Everything that's close and near and dear to his heart has now been snatched away from him. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When the thing you love, somebody has snatched that thing. Or the thing you love, somebody has confiscated that thing. Or the thing you love, somebody is threatening that thing. Whether it be your relationship with God or your relationship with your family. And they're threatening. Threatening to take it or threatening to destroy it. That thing bothered David. It moved David in his heart. See, this is where you find out exactly who you are. When your back is up against the wall, are you going to flight or fight? Are you going to run or are you going to stay? Are you going to be in the defense mode or are you going to take the offense? What are you going to do? This is where you truly find out what type of man you made of. This is where you truly find out what type of woman you made to be. I'm talking about when things are trying you. Not when everything good, because guess what? When everything good, it's easy for you to smile. But can you smile when you don't have no money in the bank? Can you smile when y'all are not seeing eye to eye? Can you smile when your children are acting like hellions? Can you smile? I'm talking about when everything seems to be working against you. Can you still put a smile on your face and say, I trust God. I believe God. God is about to turn this thing around. I'm talking about, would you still have a praise and you've been waiting for 10 years for God to do what he said he was going to do? Will you still give God the praise? Right? Go ahead and go. So we understand the story. All of the people that are close to them, all the women, all the sons, all the daughters of all the men were captured and taken as slaves. And then their refuge camp was burned to the ground. The place where we were found refuge, we don't have anymore. I'm talking about when the storms are raging and it seems like everything that's in the storm is hitting you upside your head. But what I like about David, when he was still getting hit upside his head, when he was being battered and bruised, when he was questioning whether or not I should continue on, even with this fight, because everybody that's in my camp is now upset with me. They talking about killing me because they put the blame on me. Yeah, understand, when you call to be the leader, there's going to be some blame that you got to take. There's going to be a certain level of responsibility that you got to walk in. There's going to be a certain level of accountability that you must walk in as being the leader. So when this pressure comes to you, leader, will you fold or will you stand up and ride? Will you bow or will you show them that you built to take this? Will you show them that you can handle this? Will you prove to them that I'm more than a conqueror? Or will you just prove to him that I'm just coasting? I'm only able to survive. Right? So the thing about it, even though the men spake of stoning him at one point, when they come into the knowledge, they understand, okay, all of our family has been taken captive. So they cry. So I'm talking about it became a sore cry. To then, we don't even have no more tears to cry. Now our cry done just went to anger. Who I'm really angry about, because I cannot take my anger out on them. I'm going to take it out on the one that I feel responsible. That is you, David.
Oh, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you could not exact revenge on people, because you could not exact your anger out on people, you took your anger out on the closest person to you. They ain't did nothing to you. David has been in the same battle with you. David has been going through the same struggles and trials that you're going through. But you needed to fix your eyes on David because you needed a scapegoat. You needed somebody to feel your wrath. You needed somebody to hear that you was upset and you was disgusted about what has happened in your life. So you said, okay, you know what? Because you're that close, I'm going to blame you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you have become somebody's scapegoat. But guess what? Even though David did, and David was greatly distressed, right? So he's not saying that this didn't bother him. He's letting us know that it's bothered to the people spake of stoning him, that he became the blame because of what was taking place in their lives. He's not the one that captured or enslaved their wives, their sons, and their daughters, but because he's the leader, guess what? We hold you responsible because you're the leader. You took us on this route when we kept telling you, let's go this way, David, but because you're the leader, everything started and ended with you. So guess what? You're going to get all of our anger because you're the decision maker. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He said, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. See, in other words, talking about their soul, they became emotional. Notice how we'll just easily blame people that are close to us because we're so emotional. Guess what? Because you're emotional, your emotion will give you a bad understanding. You're the closest one. You're the leader, so I'm going to blame you. Now, you're the reason why. If you would have told us to go this way, if we would have just stayed, guess what? Our wives and our sons and daughters, they would not be taken captive right now. You're the reason. I blame you. Oh, you being emotional. Somebody need to tell you being emotional. But for most of y'all, we can't say that because we run the risk of you going to go pick up something. Oh, y'all not going to help me right there. Don't have a gun in your house. Well, I'm going to show you just how emotional I am. Hey. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. But nowadays, you can't tell folk the truth. Me telling you the truth is an indicating factor that I love you. So you mean to tell me I can't tell you the truth to prove you that I love you? Without you getting all crazy and about to do something stupid? Y'all ain't gonna help me because you been there. You wanted to do something stupid. You wanted to say something stupid because somebody told you the truth about you. About you. You didn't like it. It didn't make you feel good. And you thought, this is the wrong time. No, it's the right time. It's the perfect time to tell you this. He said, the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He's talking about in the Hebrew, he encouraged himself, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Everybody is against me. Have you ever felt like everybody's against you? Most of us feel like everybody's against us just because they don't agree with you. They just don't agree with you. That doesn't mean that they're not with you or they're not for you. They just do not agree with you. What a bad understanding, but because we're emotional, we think that they're against me. But then, okay, if you can literally and legitimately say, had moments in your life where everybody was against you. Right? We know David, he said, okay, I got to encourage myself in the Lord. He said he had to go and strengthen himself in the Lord. In other words, he went and he prayed. I can imagine David praying. God help me. Because see, right now, David is actually sitting in the seat of afflictions. Well, how will you handle when affliction comes to your life? What will your response be when affliction hits your life? How will you handle it? We see what David did when affliction has hit his life. When affliction has come, not just to him, but I can imagine if he's a good leader, he feels responsible for what has happened to his people. Now, he ain't never retaliate when they blame him. That's a good leader. I'll take that. That's on me. I did tell us to go this way. I did tell us to stay out here 5 more days. I'll take that. I own that. But he still had the presence of mind of the wherewithal to say, we gonna get him back. I don't need you to just follow me when you feel like I messed it up. But can you follow me when I went to God and say, God said, we shall recover all. Will you still stand with me when I've been in the face of God and I came out encouraged? You trying to look at me and trying to figure out how is he able to have joy? How is he able to walk in faith? How is she able to trust God? How is she able to believe God when all this we got going on? Oh, because I strengthened, I encouraged myself in the Lord. See, a good leader would tell you, I wanted to give up. I told God, God, I don't see no way out of this, God. I don't see how you could bring us out of this, God. God, we would be too emotional going into a battle, God. Our minds would be on our family, God. And because our minds are on our family, because we're emotional, it can cause us to end up getting killed, God. Yeah, I believe David was that type of leader. He told God, this, God, I don't think we could do it, God. Right now, God, my heart is too vexed, it's too troubled, God, because we done lost everything, God. We don't have a refuge to turn back to. Even if we were to get them, what refuge we gonna have to go and be safe in? They burned it to the ground, God. Everything that we had, all of our possessions, God, has been burned to the ground, God. We don't have nothing. How will you respond if affliction hit your life and you lost everything? David's response was, I need to talk to the Lord. Right? So it says, okay, my, y'all done took me out of my scripture, man? Unbelievable. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He knew that his God. He made it become personal. His God. Do you understand that he's your God? That you can talk to your God about anything. And it doesn't matter if it happened in your past, if it happened yesterday, if it happened today. If you believe something's going to happen in your near future, you can talk to God. He's your God. You can talk to him about it. David didn't know whether or not he was going to recover all. But I appreciate the fact that he went to go talk to God. He inquired of the Lord to see, God, will I recover all? Should we go up after them, God? What he was saying is, oh, God, I can't make a mistake, God. Too much on the line, God, I can't make a mistake, God. I will not move without consulting you. Okay, give me verse 7 now, right? He says what? And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the hither, the ephod. I need to go and cover myself. When I talk to God, because God is going to respond to me, right? And after I brought them to the ephod to David, right? And he said, what? Give me verse 8. He said, what? And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? And see, for most of us, this is the thing. While you're dealing with affliction in your life, we don't want to consult God. But David had enough sense to say, God, shall I go after them? Because what David has always experienced in going into battle, because he's always at the ark, and because he had the Levites, and because he had the priests, the musicians, and the singers, they would go out before them. He never experienced losing a battle. Now, it can become easy to become arrogant when you haven't lost the fight. You can become overconfident, thinking that nobody can beat you. And your overconfidence will actually become your weakness. But I like the fact that David, even though he hasn't lost, he still had the presence of mind that, shall I pursue them, God? I don't want to be so stuck on myself, God. I need to know, what do you say? I know what I'm thinking and I know what I feel, but what do you say about this issue, God? Shall I pursue them? And not only that, he said, shall I overtake them? Because it's one thing to go after them, but it's something altogether different to go after them and overtake them. I need to know, God, will I overtake them? Will I be successful, God? And the Bible declares, it says, what? And he, speaking of the Lord, answered him, pursue. This represents shifting places. Moving from the seat of affliction to the seat of the blessing. Chase after, run after your blessing. Keep praising until your blessing comes, till it manifests itself. Keep talking, keep seeking God till what God said takes place in your life. Don't you give up. Why? Because you have what it takes. Oh yeah, you have what it takes. Every day it's not going to feel good. Every day it's not going to look like it. But I want you to be encouraged that you have what it takes to trust God. You have what it takes to stand still and see the salvation of the living God. You have what it takes to release your faith, and your faith will manifest the promise of God in your life. Yeah, I want to encourage you, pursue. those goals, those dreams, those aspirations, unto my stuff that you've given up on, you can pursue that thing because you talked to God about it. God, is it too late, God? Have I waited too long, God? I know I might have messed it up, God, but God, I prayed and I asked you to forgive me, God, and I repented, God. I became honest before you, God, and say, it was me, God, nobody else. I take full responsibility, God. I'm the one that messed it up, but God, I'm asking for your grace, God. I'm asking for your mercy, God. Give me an opportunity, God, to bless you. Give me an opportunity, God, to get it right. Give me an opportunity, God, to do this thing to the glory of God. Go ahead and chase after that thing. Don't let time talk you out of chasing what God promised you. Oh, yeah. Don't let regret and disappointment make you change your mind about what God said. You go ahead and you chase it. Don't let your age, I want somebody to go ahead and defy your age, because there is a living God, baby, who can restore time. There is a living God that can touch your physical body. Go ahead and pursue what God said to you. Why? Because he's telling you, you shall surely. There is nothing to be confused about. There is nothing to worry about. He says, surely, surely. I wish I had somebody who understood what I was saying. Surely. Because too many times we let wonder, unbelief, and doubt will mess with our mind and mess with our heart. But he's giving you a sure word, surely. My God, surely you have what it take. See, this is what the old folk be saying. I went into the enemy's camp, and I took, some of them even say, I snatched back what the devil was bold enough to take from me. God has given you an opportunity to walk right in that devil's camp and take your blessing back. Take your miracle back. Take your healing back. Take your money back. Take your peace back. Take your joy back. Take your deliverance back. Take your insanity back. Take it back. But most of us are afraid to go into the enemy's camp. But you need to know, you're not going into the enemy's camp alone. Yes, you will have your soldiers with you, but God has already went before you. And he said, surely you're going to overtake them. So what you afraid of now? Surely I'll bring it to pass. Surely I will do it. Then for some of you, you say, surely I've already done it. See, I like when God talk like that. I've already done that. I did that. I like when God talking past this. I've already done that. I already did that right there. Matter of fact, the blessing is waiting on you to put your hands on it. The blessing is waiting on you to catch up to it. I've already done that. I'm waiting on the next request. I'm waiting on the next prayer. I'm waiting on your next blessing. I'm waiting on to manifest your next miracle. Ask me about something else. I've already did that. But just in case you were wondering, surely. He said, you'll overtake them, and without fail, you will recover all. See, sometimes we just used to recovering some things. And then there were most of us, we were used to recovering nothing. To it just leaves us struggling whether or not God will really do it. We question, can God? We know he can do it, but will he do it? He said, surely you're going to overtake them, but I'm going to let you recover them all. Matter of fact, I want you to see how God was already working. When they took captive every last one of y'all wives, sons, and daughter, and depending on who the people are, they'll just start killing folk then. But I made it be so that they ain't killed nobody, they just took them captive. So I was already at work preserving them to give you an opportunity. Think about some things didn't get messed completely up because God was already working when you started messing it up. He was already working to fix your mess up. So that when you came and talked to him, he could let you walk right on out and get it right. I'm so grateful because that many days I done messed stuff up. Intentionally messed some stuff up. But God was so mindful of what he said while I was intentionally messing some stuff up. He was preserving what he said. Because he knew there was going to be a point where I came to my senses and say, God, I'm wrong. I messed it up, God. Will you give me a chance to get it right? Will you give me a chance to recover, God? Will you give me a chance, God, to bring you the glory out of this thing, God? Yeah, I've already set it up so. Now go and get it. And so he said, without fail, you shall recover all. So we understand that the text is letting us know that David, as well as all his soldiers, every wife, every son, every daughter, they recover without harm. Isn't that just like our God? Who would do something awesome like that? Let you go pursue them, but let you overtake them, and then let you recover all. So I want to encourage you that you have what it takes to obey God. You have what it takes to live a submitted life to God. You have what it takes to live a yielded life to God. You have what it takes to back the devil up. You have what it takes. Yeah. To walk by faith and not by sight. You have what it takes. Yeah. To truly forgive people. You have what it takes. To truly walk in the love of God and let the love of God be demonstrated in your life. You have what it takes. Oh yeah. To walk in the power of God. You have what it takes. I'm talking about be a full-time intercessor. You have what it takes. Not praying here and praying there and praying here and praying there. No, you have what it takes. Oh, that's how much God believes in you. When do we ever stop believing in ourselves? How much God believes in us? When did you ever stop believing in yourself? How God believes in you? You have what it takes to bring change. You have what it takes. If change is going to come, God has given you what it needs to bring change. You have what it takes to be the change bringer. You have what it takes.